Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. We're going to talk about this morning the man Caleb and some of the lessons that hopefully we can learn from the man Caleb. And one of the things that I notice right off the bat is that as you're studying through the scriptures, you get to that section of history and there is a lot of information about men like Moses. And there is a lot of information about men like Joshua. In fact, you know, we've got some songs. Jacob led one of them this morning in which we sing about Joshua and his leadership and those types of things. And that's good. I don't remember any songs about Caleb. There's not a lot of information that's given to us about Caleb. And yet, Caleb is a pretty impressive character. He's a pretty impressive man that we're going to, as we see his story told to us, even though it's only through a couple of chapters. There's just not a lot of information that is revealed for us. But what is given to us tells us what Caleb was like. And not only does it tell us a little bit about what Caleb was like, I think it gives us quite a bit of information that helps us to understand there are some good characteristics about Caleb that we need to be emulating. There are some things that we need to be learning from Caleb. And one of the main lessons that we're going to see is that there is a need for us to persevere. That we need to keep on keeping on. And that there is a reason for us to do that. And as we look at the story of Caleb or the account of Caleb, we're going to notice some things about him that we need to apply. Things that need to be a part of our lives. And so we're going to take some time and look at the life of Caleb. We're going to look at how he lived. And we're going to look at how he dedicated himself to God. And one of the phrases that I want you to be watching for, because it appears quite frequently throughout the few verses that are given about Caleb, is how often it's said that he was one who wholly followed the Lord. Because that's at the very crux of Caleb's life. It is who he was. And certainly something that we need to be following as well. And so let's start just by looking at the account of Caleb, or the story of Caleb, as it's recorded for us primarily in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. As I said before, there's not a great deal of information given about him. And yet, as we're looking at this section of history, he's a very important man. And we're going to see just how important he is in the history of Israel as we look at his life this morning. Caleb was one of the 12 spies that was chosen by Moses to go up and spy out the land of Canaan after they've come up out of Egypt. The first time they're going to go into the land. The first opportunity that they have to go into the land. And I think it's pretty significant that he is one of these 12 men who are chosen. It should have been, and it was, a great honor to be among the 12. To be among those who were chosen as leaders of the people to go in and spy out the land. Look at how it's described for us in Numbers chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. And so Caleb being chosen among this group of men shows that he was a leader. He was one who was out there in front and who was one who should have been in a position to help the people of Israel. All of the men should have been that. All of the men were said to be leaders, heads of their father's houses. All of the men who were chosen to go into the land of Canaan were special men that could have been a great influence on the people of Israel. And yet what we see as the story unfolds for us is that really wasn't the case. What we see is that only two of the men really lived up to what their potential was for leading the children of Israel the way that they should have. And that was Joshua and Caleb. We also see that Caleb is a man of great courage. You know, when we look at the mere fact that Caleb accepted this assignment, I think it stands out that he was a man of courage. to understand what their responsibility was going to be to go into this land, to be able to spy it out and to see what was there. That was no small feat. It was a great task that was given to them, and it was a dangerous assignment. And yet Caleb was there and ready to jump in. He was ready to go and do exactly what Moses had asked them to do. And so he's going to spy out the land. Look at chapter 13, beginning in verse 17. It says, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, 'Go up this way into the south and into the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land.' Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near the entrance of Hamath." Caleb was among this group that was going to go and check this land out and see what was there. Caleb's courage is also shown by his reaction after having spied out the land. We see a difference in his response and his reaction, along with Joshua, of course, than the other 10 spies that came back from the land. What we see with Caleb is that he's immediately ready to go and take the land. He encourages the people. Let's do it. What are we waiting for? Let's go do this. Drop down to verse 25. Verse 25. It says there, "And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days, and they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan.' Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.'" And so the people, the men, of the other 10 men, they're insistent that this is not going to work. Caleb, on the other hand, says, "Let's go. Let's go. We are well able to overcome it." I love that phrase that he uses there. We are well able to overcome it. And even though both Joshua and Caleb were ambitious, encouraging the people to take the land, the rest weren't ready. And the rest were not going to encourage the people to go and fight. But what we see is that Caleb and Joshua, they're still not willing to give in to the pressure of the other spies. It's not like they're standing there, Caleb is saying, "We're well able to," and the other spy says, "No, it's really bad." And Caleb says, "Okay, maybe I misjudged this situation." I mean, it's 10 against 2 here. He still is adamant about the fact that he thinks they need to go and take the land. He was not going to turn back on his convictions because he knew that the Lord was going to help them. Look at what he says there, beginning in chapter 14 and verse 1. "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and return to Egypt.' And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh who were among those who had spied out the land tore their clothes, and they spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before the children of Israel. They fought for what they believed in. They continued to argue that they could go and take the land, and they had confidence in God. They knew that God was going to be able to preserve them. They knew that God was going to be able to deliver what God had promised to deliver to them. And they weren't going to back down. Caleb wasn't going to back down. We also see that Caleb was a man of faith. He was a man who had complete trust in God, and nothing was going to sway that. That's what we saw in verses 8 and 9 there. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. I can just hear the pleading in Caleb's voice as he's making this argument. And he's telling them, the Lord is going to take care of that. There's nothing to be afraid of. And I see this as the very key of Caleb's success. He never gave up on God. He always believed that God was going to take care of them. He knew that God was going to take care of him. And it didn't matter what they had to face in the land. It didn't matter that there were giants there. It didn't matter that the cities were large and fortified. God was going to take care of that. And so there was no doubt in Caleb. He had his full confidence in God. We know that he believed that God was there for him and that he was going to trust God to do what God said he could do. We can see as the story continues to unfold that God became furious with the people of Israel. It's one of those times in which he was so angry with the people of Israel that he says, I'll just kill them all. We'll just start over instead of dealing with these people. But what we see is Moses intercedes for the people of Israel. In chapter 14, there in verse 11, he says, Then the Lord said to Moses, How long will these people reject me, and how long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed among them, I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. And Moses said to the Lord, Then the Egyptians will hear of it, for by your might you brought these people out from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among those people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. So Moses goes on behalf of the people, and God relented from destroying the people, he says here, as one man. He was ready to just wipe them out, even as one person. But he determined that they would still be punished. Even though they're not wiped out, he determines that they're not going to get to go into the promised land. And so their punishment for their rebellion is that they were not allowed to go into the land of Canaan that had been promised to them, and that it would be preserved for the next generation that would come after them. And yet the exception that God made was that Caleb and Joshua would be able to go into the promised land. They were permitted. They were going to be rewarded because they were the ones who were determined to do what God had told them to do. And they're the only people from among the people of Israel that were over 20 years of age that were permitted to go into the land of Canaan. Look at what's said in verse 28 of the same chapter, of chapter 14. It says there, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter into the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, excuse me, I will bring them in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And so they weren't going to get to go into the land of promise, except for Joshua and Caleb. And this is something that Moses would repeat for Joshua and Caleb on other occasions. And I can't help but think that this was one of those things that had to give confidence to Caleb as time went by. In Joshua chapter 32, there in verse 11, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and above shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. There we see that phrase begin to be used of identifying the ones who wholly followed the Lord. In Deuteronomy 1 and verse 34, it says, and the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry and took an oath saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land which I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and his children I'm giving the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. So I said, can you just imagine how much of a comfort this type of thing had to be to Caleb? To know that God noticed that he was following him and that there was a consequence for that. There was a reward for that. The reward was is that he got to do what none of the others of that generation got to do. He got to go in to the land of promise. Later, when the children of Israel were numbered the second time, this is 40 years later, everybody who was 20 years old and above at the time of the spying out of the land was dead. They'd already died, and it's only Joshua and Caleb that is left that's going to get to go in. In Numbers 26 and verse 63, these are those who were numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priest, who numbered the children of Israel on the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. But among these, there was not a man of those who were numbered by Moses and Aaron the priest, when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai, for the Lord had said to them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. So there was not left a man of them except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. And so what God said was going to happen, that's what happened. Everybody else died. And Joshua and Caleb were the only ones who had been 20 or older at the time of the first numbering that were going to get to go into the promised land. Now we're talking about Caleb being a man of faith. Caleb's faith was proven to be true when the children of Israel went into their first battle. They're going in to fight the Midianites, and when they come into that battle, what we see is that they didn't lose a single man in the battle. Numbers chapter 31 and verse 48. Then the officers who were over thousands of the army, the captains of thousands and the captains of hundreds, came near to Moses, and they said to Moses, your servants have taken account of the men of war who are under our command, and not a man of us is missing. You remember what the 12 spies, the 10 of the 12 spies said? They said, we can't go in and take that land. They said, there are too many people there. They said there are giants in the land. They said the people of the land are just too much. They're stronger than we are. Remember chapter 13 and verse 31? But the men who had gone up said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. In that moment, Caleb and Joshua had assured them, if we're pleasing God, God's going to take care of us. If we're doing what God tells us to do, He's going to see that we take this land. But they weren't able to persuade the rest of the people. And so the battle that then came proved that God was with His people. Caleb said it was going to happen, and then it happened. The 10 spies said, no, they're stronger than us. We can't win. And yet, God saw to it that they didn't lose a single man in the first battle that they fought. That is an amazing feat. Other than God's people, I don't know anybody who goes into battle with the idea that we're going to fight this battle and we're going to guarantee that we're not going to lose anybody. Only God can do that. And this battle proved that God was with His people just the way that Caleb had said that God could be with His people. He was right, the 10 spies were wrong. And yet they misled the people away from the promised land. We then see Caleb receives his prize. Caleb had to endure the wandering in the wilderness just like the rest of the people had to do. He had to wander around for 40 years waiting to get to go into the promised land. But after that 40 years of wandering, when everybody else is dying because they're not allowed to go into the land, Caleb gets to go in and see his inheritance. Look at Joshua chapter 14. In Joshua chapter 14, there we're going to begin reading in verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to them as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he has said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me the mountain on which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb the son of Jephunneh as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Verse 10 of this passage shows us just how long it took the people to take the land and begin this process of dividing it up. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and now it's been 5 years that they have been working on taking the land. And Caleb says, it's been 45 years. It's been 45 years since that promise had been made to me that I'm going to get this land. And then we look at verse 11, and it displays the blessings that came to Caleb because he was willing to follow the Lord. He says, I'm just as strong now as the day whenever I went out to spy the land. I'm 85 years old and I'm still a strong man of war that I can go out and come in. That wasn't normal. God was giving him blessings that was going to allow him to get the land that he had been promised. And he's also able to live to a good old age, which was a blessing that was not shown to any of his contemporaries, except for Joshua. Everybody else had died. And so he received this blessing from being because he was faithful. Verse 12 is a significant verse as well, because verse 12 tells us that he asked to go back to the place where the Anakim was. The Anakim were the giants. You see, Caleb was so confident in God, it didn't bother him that that was the possession of the giants. He says, let me go there. That's the land that I want. And he went in to take that very land that he had been promised so many years ago. And so verse 13 and 14 show us that Caleb did indeed receive his inheritance. The land that had been promised to him 45 years before is now his, and he says that he was going to be his possession. It was going to be his inheritance. And so we see that he was successful because he remained faithful to God, because he was wholly following the Lord. So I want to look at those characteristics and think of some of the lessons that we learned from Caleb. Think of some of the things that we need to make applications to in our lives. The first thing is that when we look at the life of Caleb, we see a lesson in character. Caleb was first and foremost a man of God. He was committed to being faithful, and that's why that phrase is so important throughout that account, where it says over and over again, he was one who wholly followed the Lord. That's a character that is sorely needed today. That is a character that we need to emulate in our time and in our generation. There's not nearly enough people who wholly follow the Lord today. No matter what's going to come, we need to be the kind of people that embody that characteristic that we never give up. We're always going to persevere. We're always going to follow what the Lord tells us to do and what the Lord tells us to be. Now, as a part of that, I see several characteristics in Caleb that we've already introduced, but which we want to go back and start making some application to. The first one was, Caleb was a man of courage. Caleb was not afraid of the giants in the land of Canaan. He was ready to go and fight them, and it didn't matter that they were there. It didn't matter that those fortified cities were in the land. Now, sometimes we have to face our own giants. Sometimes there are difficulties that are going to be out there in front of us, and it's not going to be the same kind of giant that Caleb had to face. We're not going to go out and, you know, face literal, physical giants who are people. And yet there are a lot of things that we do have to face. There are things that might be our own personal types of giants, the trials, the tribulations, the persecutions, the personal weaknesses, the things that are trying to destroy us. We have to face those. And we have to realize God is there for us. God is on our side. And He's not going to allow us to be defeated if we're going to continue to be faithful to Him. And we're going to be wholly following Him. And so we do need the courage of Caleb. And you know, we might ask the question, well, what does that look like? What does it mean to have that kind of courage? I don't know that I can define that in every given situation based on what your giant might be or what my giant might be. But we know what it does mean is that we don't run away from that which is that which is God's will for us. We don't turn our back on Him, but we keep on keeping on and we don't give up. We're going to continue to put on our armor. We're going to continue to fight the spiritual battle that He's given to us instead of being cowards. And that's the warning that's given in Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'm always fascinated that the cowardly are thrown in with these things that we always look at and we say, these are terrible, awful things. Well, being cowardly is a terrible, awful thing as well. He says that's the end of those who are cowardly. We need to be courageous like Caleb was courageous. Caleb was also a man of dedication. And we need to have that same kind of dedication for God. Caleb's whole life was one of dedication to the Lord. That's why, and I keep pointing this out, that phrase, wholly follow the Lord, is used throughout our readings. It shows that dedication that he had. He lived a life that was approved of by God. You know, we have that kind of warning given to us by Paul in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, or Timothy did, and we do by extension. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Are we busy about working in the kingdom? You know, he talks about rightly dividing the word of truth, but it's not just about understanding that. It's about taking that word and understanding what it means for us and putting it into practice. That's what Caleb was doing. He was wholly following the Lord. He took what God told him to do, and he was willing to have the faith that it took to put that into practice. And so we should be like him. We need to work in such a way as to be approved by God. We're not just trying to get by. It's not about figuring out what the bare minimum is and skating through life and hoping that when we get through the judgment, God says, okay, you know, that scale, it balances just slightly on the good side. No, we need to wholly follow the Lord. Consider what happened with the 10 spies. Go back to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, there in verse 36. Now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against them by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by plague before the Lord. That was the consequence for them. Verse 38, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. It's obvious God didn't look favorably on those who were rebellious. You know, those 10 spies had been so rebellious as they told the people, you don't do what God told you to do. It's not going to work out well for you to do what God told you to do. And God destroyed them because of that. Joshua and Caleb, on the other hand, they were dedicated to God. They said, it doesn't matter what's in the land. Let's go take it. God said we can do it, we can do it. That's the kind of dedication we need to God. If He says to do something, we need to do it just because He said to do it. We don't understand why. Doesn't matter. We don't think that it's the best thing. Doesn't matter. He said do it, let's do it. Because He said, and we're dedicated to Him. Which side of that fence are we going to be on? Are we going to be like the 10 spies who question God and everything He tells us to do? Or are we going to be like Joshua and Caleb just says, we're going to do it because that's what God said to do? Caleb was a man of faith. And of course, faith is a vital characteristic for us. We must be people of faith. Caleb trusted God to be able to lead the people into the promised land. He knew that God could deliver on what God said that He could do. What could stand in the way of them? They had God on their side. That's the kind of faith that we need to have. There's nothing that can stand in our way if God is on our side. And that's what Paul was writing about in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. He said, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Drop down to verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to have that kind of faith that says we are going to be victorious. It doesn't matter what we have to face. There is nothing that can stop us from being victorious. That's the faith that Caleb had. It also comes down to us having the confidence in God that Caleb had. I guess that's just a different way of saying have faith. Having the confidence in God that Caleb had. We need to trust that He's able to fulfill whatever promises that He's made to us if we remain faithful to Him. That's why Paul, as he nears the end of his life, he's able to write this, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. All the faithful can have the same kind of confidence that Paul had. Paul's confidence was similar to the confidence of Caleb. He knew that he had been victorious because he had faith in God. He knew God could fulfill His promises. Now, it may take some time. It may be a while before we get to that point where Paul was. It may be a while before we're ready to enter into our promised land. But we need to make sure that we don't lose heart. We need to make sure that we don't give up. You remember Caleb? Caleb took 45 years to get there. That seems like a long time. That's the kind of faith that we need to have, the kind of confidence that we need to have in God. No matter how long it takes before we get there, we need to have that confidence in God. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. in chapter 10, in verse 35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. It might take a while to get there, but you need to have the diligence. You can't give up. And so we need to have complete confidence in God. We need to rely on Him. We need to rely on His promises that He can hold us securely. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16 says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Do we have enough confidence in God to put our lives and our souls into His hand? To turn ourselves fully over to Him and trust that He's going to do all that He's promised that He's going to do? That's what Caleb did. Didn't matter there were giants in the land. He was ready to trust God. And that's what we need to do as well. As we wrap up this morning, we need to think about the example of Caleb. And think about the fact that with God on our side, we can face any giant that comes our way. We can conquer any problem that we have to face. If we know that He is on our side, if we know that we are on His side, we need to make sure that we're fighting on the right side. We can have courage that we can conquer when we understand that we're serving under Him and putting our faith and our confidence in Him. And so we do need to follow the example of Caleb. We need to follow the Lord wholly. That's what he did, and that's why he received his reward. That's what we need to do so that we can receive our reward. We can't waver in that. We can't hold back. We can't pretend to serve him. We can't try to have one foot in the world and one foot in service to him. We cannot doubt him. And we need to serve him wholly. We can be sure that in some short amount of time, at least relatively speaking, we're going to receive the object of our hope. Face it, this life is short. Even if we think in terms of those who might live 100 years, that's still just a drop in the bucket. That is not long to be here in relationship to even how long the earth has stood, let alone eternity. We're just a small part of that. James says life is like a vapor. You know, it's there for a moment and then it's gone. And that's the way we need to think about it, is that we need to prepare for the time of eternity, not this short period of time that we live here and think about, you know, what we want. We need to wholly follow the Lord in this life so that we can be wholly with Him in the next life. If we remain faithful, we'll receive our reward. Just like Caleb did. He waited. He was patient. He had to wander in the wilderness and suffer that with all the rest of the people. But then he got his inheritance. And that's the example that we need to follow. We need to continue to be faithful no matter how long we are here, to serve the Lord so that we can receive our reward. We can receive our inheritance. Thank you for your good attention this morning.